75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
And as you can tell by the sounds, thousands of people are here in Roswell observing the UFO Festival. It's held every year over the 4th of July. Some of the crowd is unusual for sure.
Do you think that was a Dalmatian?
No, I don't know what it was.
That was Roberta Scott, who's here with me, along with Shanina Johnson and James Smith. Welcome to our series on Roswell. Roswell, New Mexico, 1947, fact or fiction, coming up on the 60th anniversary. Between now and July 4th, 2007, we'll be doing a series of shows featuring all of the movers and shakers of the Roswell story. We hope you tell your friends about this series, as we'll be adding new shows every week or two. Right now, let's talk to someone in the crowd. Here's a lady. You live around here, I understand. Where do you work? What do you do?
I'm working at the Dexter Fish Hatchery. So
you're into wildlife?
I am. I just...
My kind of woman, Shanina. Oh, no, not that kind of wildlife.
I just graduated with my master's from New Mexico State University, and so I'm at Dexter working in the molecular ecology lab, getting some experience.
What kind of degree did you get? Something in zoology or something?
It's wildlife science, a master's in wildlife science.
And your name?
Holly Vong.
I got to ask you about ETs.
What do you want to know about ETs?
Do you believe?
I believe that there are other things out there. I don't know if they're as sophisticated as what's in the propaganda.
So you're just here having fun?
Oh, yeah. I'm just visiting and having fun.
That'll be the theme of our first show, ETs, Do You Really Believe? Surprisingly, a lot of people in Roswell are doubters, and many have religious beliefs that enter into this as well. Later on, we'll be talking to Guy Malone about that, and also we'll be talking to Guy about the plans for the 2007 anniversary, the 60th anniversary. But right now we're going to step into the time machine and go forward to October 27th, 2006. A new movie about UFOs. Well, it's a movie basically about people who don't believe that UFOs are extraterrestrials. They believe they're demons. Hey, don't laugh. That's a common theme. Stick around. We're going to go to commercial, and I'm going to jump in the time machine and go forward to October.
I'm Jim Mars, author of Alien Agenda, the world's top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs. I'm here today to tell you one of the most fascinating stories I've come across in my career as a journalist. The secret of Reggate is that so many people in one small American community now know that there is so much more to the universe than what we see and experience in our everyday world.
Save $5 this month when you purchase The Secret of Reggate DVD from ShopJerryPippin.com. This film won the prestigious People's Choice Awards at the 2004 UFO Conference. The Secret of Reggate will astound you. You will want to see it again and again. Save $5. Order it now this month only at ShopJerryPippin.com. Secret of Reggate, a Linda Cowan production. Welcome back to our UFO show. Over the weekend of October 27th, a UFO movie opened around the country, including here in Roswell. It's called Unidentified. It's actually a Christian movie production. On the line, we have Rich Cristiano, along with his brother, produced this movie. Rich, welcome to the show. And give me a little background on this movie, if you don't mind.
A friend of mine had an idea about a UFO movie, and so he explained it to me one day, and I made a deal to buy that idea from that guy, and then my brother and I drafted a script. Basically, the concept is this movie is about these two guys that work for a national magazine that, over a newswire, they catch wind of a UFO sighting that takes place in a small Texas town. And it just so happens they're going to Houston on some other business, and their editor wants them to drive 2 hours out of their way to go check it out. Well, neither reporter is thrilled about this because they see themselves as serious reporters and they see the UFO thing as just a tabloid subject. But the news editor says, wait a minute, UFOs, there's something about this subject, never goes away, I want you to check it out. Well, when they go up to the small Texas town to check it out, nobody will tell them anything. It's like there's a cover-up that's going on. And then the movie goes from there, and they start investigating, and they take different viewpoints. One of the writers is an atheist. He doesn't believe in UFOs, the Bible, none of this stuff. To him, it's all about making money, and the UFOs is another money-making scheme, and so he takes it from that vantage point. Then the girl writer gets involved and says, wait a minute, there's been thousands and thousands of UFO sightings all around the world by a lot of credible people, a lot of credible sources. There's got to be alien activity. So she's kind of out to prove the alien viewpoint. And the lead writer, he's not sure what it is, but he's convinced something's going on. He's just convinced that something is happening out there. So he's kind of just trying to decide. And then the religion editor gets involved, and he chimes in with his viewpoint, which he thinks is the biblical viewpoint. So what we tried to do in this movie is present different arguments to answer the question, what are UFOs? And then we connect it and draw it into spiritual truths. How does it deal with the Bible? How does it affect Jesus? How does it affect eternity? Things like that. Where I think this movie is a very thought-provoking film. And
Rich, thanks for telling us about the movie. We're out of time. We have a guest here, so we have to get on with the show. Thanks again.
No, just appreciate the exposure.
And we are in Roswell on Main Street, the Roswell Earth Station Visitor Center, and we have Guy Malone here with us. And Guy, the first time I met you here in Roswell, you were doing a conference in which you were exploring the religious significance of UFOs. And more recently, I saw you this summer out in California in the Mojave Desert. We had a lot of fun there at the Retro Conference. Welcome to the show.
That was fun at the Integraton.
Yeah, we have a picture of him on that website. And, in fact, I saw a picture in the newspaper here where you had the same makeup on.
Oh, good. I haven't seen that yet. I need a copy of that for the scrapbook.
Yeah, well, I saw it on, maybe it wasn't on the newspaper, maybe it was website, but I did see a picture. Somebody took a picture of you in it.
Yeah, that started as almost a joke. The picture or the look you're referring to is Alien Stranger, a persona I've got going for marketing our websites and conferences and books and stuff. I've shaved my head completely bald, which, if you've seen me in years past, that wasn't a big sacrifice.
I was not going to make any comments. Yeah. I was going to be a nice host.
Well, it's kind of like dumping a girl before she dumps you. Make it look like it was your idea. And then I paint it with gray and silver makeup and get the hugest upside-down sunglasses I can find. And people want to run up and take photos. So I'm like, yeah, and here's a card, too. So it gets them going to the website.
Now, your website's alienstranger.com?
Yeah, I've got more websites than I do pairs of underwear, I think, by now. But all the UFO-related ones are listed at alienstranger.com.
So that's a good place to go. And we have a link to that as well.
Cool.
You've lived in Roswell for a long time, right?
Since 1999. 7 years this weekend. I moved from Nashville.
So you came here during the UFO celebration?
Yeah, I unloaded half my pickup truck at the little apartment I'd rented, and the other half I had a vendor table at the convention center.
And were you planning on staying? Or?
Oh, 6 or 9 months, yeah.
And so you're still here?
Yeah, it's
You actually have some very good conferences.
Thanks.
Very interesting. This one this year was at the Ramada, and we've had a couple of the people on already that appeared at the conference. You had sometimes have a theme. Next year, I know you got new plans. You got anything to announce about that?
I've booked the convention center for next year. And you're right, we do thematic events quite often. Like this year, I got all the best local talent, you might say, the researchers who actually live in Roswell, and put that under the heading RoswellUFOConference.com. Next year, it's going to be the topic of disclosure, and I've already got agreements, not signed agreements, but verbal or email agreements with Stephen Bassett, Dr. Stephen Greer, Michael Lindemann, John Lear, and Richard Dolan, and they're going to present on the topics of disclosure. Will the U.S. government ever tell the truth, and should they? Do they think it's a good idea or a bad idea? And we may think that's a no-brainer, that we want the truth to be told, but there's a lot of valid arguments for keeping a lid on these things, and these guys are going to debate that out.
Yeah, we've had some of those discussions ourselves before. Do you have a location yet?
A physical location? We've got a shop that's on currently 706 West 2nd, Roswell, at 8203, and that's my third location for Alien Resistance Headquarters, which has always been a book. It started as a bookstore. I opened here in 2000.
Yeah, I've been in the when it was a bookstore completely. Now it's a lot of things.
Well, my friends run it. Instead of me having to pay the rent to keep the expenses going, I actually lived in that shop probably when you were there. Yeah, in the back. That's the only way I could really afford to do all this at the same time and still travel and be at every other UFO conference. But they moved from Wisconsin to help me with what we're doing here. Free and Amy are an artist couple. She does tattoos, and he blows glass. So once they moved here, took them about a year to open their own studio, and we moved the headquarters into there. So it's definitely a 3- or 4-fold building.
Now, do you know where you're going to have your conference next year?
Yeah, I've booked the Roswell Convention Center. They say it seats 1,200 if it's wide open.
Yeah, it's a nice facility in there. Yeah, this year, they didn't seem to have anything going on there.
No, that's what gave me the idea to get it. People are used to the UFO festival here being kind of split up to where there's vendors and lectures and events both at the convention center because it's a big, modern, air-conditioned facility that can hold several hundred. And there's stuff going on downtown here on the corner in front of the UFO Museum. But they didn't book it this year, and that just gave me the idea to walk up and ask, can I book it next year?
And you did.
And I did.
Well, great. And that'll be a good topic to have. You'll have a big discussion group and a big attendance.
I think I will, yeah. That's just the first five speakers that I've agreed. I've got it booked for 2 days, and I've got the option to add on Friday or Monday if other people contact me and want to be down here.
Next year, if I'm not mistaken, the 4th is in the middle of the week, but it'll be...
July 4th is Wednesday, so that makes it tough to...
So you're going to have it the week before the 4th?
The weekend before, yeah. I think it's actually the 30th, and then the 1st would be July 1st would be Sunday, but the Saturday disclosure debate would be Saturday the 30th.
Let's discuss a little bit about you personally and your interest in UFOs and all of these related subjects. We see you around a lot. You've always been interested in this?
Pretty much. As a childhood experiencer, and that was sufficient motivation to keep me interested in wanting to find out what was going on, even though throughout my teenage years. Yeah. Born in Atlanta, but raised in Nashville, and I think I had some, you might say, paranormal or nocturnal type of experiences that just planted the seed in my head. I didn't really get active until, the last decade or so.
You were very young when this happened?
Yeah, about between 4 and 8, some repeated events. I've got what's my first entry into this field. It's 1997 is a book I wrote, Come Sail Away, and it's free on the Internet. And part of that book is kind of my autobiographical, detailed dreams, whatever I remember. Gets personal too.
Yeah, I understand. But have you changed your mind since you wrote that book in 97, or have you embellished it? Or
I'd say anybody who hasn't learned, something on this phenomena since 1970. Well, the reason you're asking that question probably is because one of the original premises or thesis is that I wrote that my experiences were probably more demonic than they were extraterrestrial. And I think there's a lot of that fallen angel deception going on within the UFO subculture. It's entities that are claiming to be from other planets that really aren't. But just because that is true doesn't mean I don't think aliens possibly exist. And I also think that there's a lot of nuts and bolts to the UFO phenomena that is absolutely 100% separate from the spiritual or paranormal.
Yeah, the first time I ran across you, you were into a conference that was heavy into spiritual and religious overtones.
Yeah, and 2004
right,
here.
It actually worked very well. You had people of opposite beliefs, but they seemed to have reached some sort of a term there.
That was 2004, is Ancient of Days. You're right. It was a 4-day event, and half the speakers were Christians. Some of them took the demonic view, and half of them weren't and were very secular. That's Richard Dolan,
sure.
John Greenwald, and the like. And my idea was the opening remarks. I said, no view is unwelcome here as long as it's based on your research, not your dogma. Get up here and tell us why you believe what you believe. So over 4 days, 14 speakers presented and heard each other out, and we had a 3-hour panel discussion at the end of it. And I won't say agreement or consensus was reached, because that wasn't the goal. The goal was an end to the hostility, to hear each other out and sit down, and everybody left friends. It was amazing.
A lot of interviews that year, and no one was hostile to each other. So
that's what I considered the best success, that people were willing to just sit and hear each other out and walk away friends, even if they disagreed. But we all came away valuing what even the people we most disagreed with contributed to the field of research, because that helps my knowledge when someone that I disagree with their premise, if they can give me some facts, I'm all ears.
Now, Guy, when we're talking with Guy Malone here, when you had your childhood experiences and it was demonic, at least you thought it was at the time, what is this a different realm from the extraterrestrials that were here in Roswell, you think? Or?
Oh, you don't know. I'm one of the black sheep in Roswell on that. Okay. I actually own the domain RoswellUFOCrash.com that takes the man-made Tesla Nazi UFO paperclip angle on what really happened. I'd be more in line with what Nick Redfern and Mike Heiser have printed on this.
Well, I knew that's the reason I wanted to bring this up.
Okay.
And how is this viewpoint accepted here in Roswell?
I would say that viewpoint is not endorsed by the Roswell Chamber of Commerce, the UFO Museum, or the New World Order.
what about when we talk about disclosure then? What do you think will come of that next year?
Of the conference or what's to disclose if it's
both,
just man-made?
Both,
yeah. Well, it's not that I don't believe aliens are possible from other worlds and all that stuff. I do think Roswell is one of the worst examples to make that case, though, because of the other research that's come out in the past few decades to the contrary. And I'm not talking mogul or balloon. But one thing we all agree on is that there is something massive and pervasive and global that's been going on for decades, and that the U.S. government has a ton of information about it, and that there's black ops and secret governments behind walls. And that's the group that we want to say, what exactly do you know about what's going on, and do we have the right to know it? But I'm not saying it's from outer space, and I'm not saying it's demonic, and I'm not saying it's man-made. It could be, you know, all of the above.
Yeah. Of all of such.
But let's get the information out there and let people learn.
Well, we try our part to do that. Let's get back to the retro conference and that idea and the Integraton. Was that the first time you've been out there?
To the Integraton, yeah. It was their first retro conference, though.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I understand, but I thought maybe you might. It looked basically what I thought it would look like. It was my first time. and I read back over the history of that back in the 50s, and I kind of scratch my head a lot. I'm not quite really sure what happened. What's your whole feeling about that whole
thing? Well, the what you'd call the UFO and visitor phenomena was so different back in the 50s. The George Van Tassel and or George Adamski and Van Tassel, they were reporting contact with what we'd call extremely humanoid entities, the tall blondes, or angelics is what a lot of people refer to them as, And the message, the abduction phenomena wasn't brought up at all back then. It was really just, some people might refer to it as New Agey because they were talking about spiritual utopias and it was very day the earth stood still. That, you know, we need to show you humans a better way before you blow each other up or come into space with your nuclear weapons and try to blow us up.
Now you visited, you were there all day talking to everybody.
Yeah, in makeup.
Dressed as an alien. It was a very hot day in the desert. Naturally, it would be, but you're from Roswell now, so you're used to that.
I was the only one at the whole thing, like 200-300 people at least. I was the only one in a tie, but I had a press shirt and slacks, and yeah, with that makeup.
You looked very good.
I figured if you're going to look like an idiot, you can at least look professional about it.
What I'm getting to is I had several people volunteer stories about super ships showing up and music and things coming from them, lights, et cetera, et cetera. Did you get a lot of interesting people talking about stories from the past?
Not so much at that event. Maybe it was my parents didn't invite confidentiality but or credibility to some until at least they took a card and went on the website, I would hope. But, yeah, that's a large part of what's in the UFO phenomenon in general and what would have been at the Integraton.
Well, the giant rock, did you get out there?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's tough to get there, though.
Yeah, Lisa Davis is the organizer of the conference in Hollywood, Newfoc right now. She had an awesome four-wheel drive, and killed...
I saw you guys going out. We'd come back in our little Vibe.
She about killed us and a few other people on the way, but we got there and got back.
That brings me up to something that we ought to do here. I was just talking with Roberta Scott and Jim Smith, our producers here, before you came in. And it seems to me that they're missing a bed here. They need to get some sort of organized caravan or something to go out to the crash site.
You know, what I've heard is the reason that doesn't happen here is because during the festival, the real quick, easy route to get to it is through the rancher's land. And he was charging like maybe $10 a head to drive through his property. And I've not read this in print, but this is what I've always heard as long as I've lived here, that the city actually said, well, if you're going to charge money for it, we have to rezone you from ranch to commercial, and that'll be $80,000, please. So he put a padlock on the gate. Now, I've been there a couple times, and there's photos on a Roswell UFO crash of the monuments that were out there during the festival. It's doable, and you can get there on public land. You just got to have a four-wheel drive, and it takes a while.
What's out there? Nothing, I
guess. No, because in the 97 festival, they really did it up, and there's some monolith rock monuments. There's a huge stone. The carving on it reads, we don't know who they were, where they came from, or something like that. It doesn't exactly say rest in peace, but there is words carved on a stone marker. Now, you know as well that there's 3, 4, 5 debated Roswell crash sites, though. That's the one that's closest to the city limits and most marketable. But Corona, you know, Stanton will tell you, is more or less the final resting place. But that doesn't mean that people are lying or hoaxing. People think that the craft, wherever it came from, that we were talking about earlier, possibly may have hit the ground, skipped, left a gash, broken off parts of it, but regained altitude, and then finally crashed at Corona, you know, a couple more miles or 60 miles away from here.
Now, Nick Redfern, we had an interesting interview with his idea. I'm trying to remember, did we run across Nick here in Roswell? Did he dare show himself here?
Oh, no. He agreed with me that he would. He was going to be a speaker this year. But his mom is ill, and he went back to the U.K. for several months.
Okay.
I hope he's here next year, though,
but
whether as a speaker or just hanging out.
He was ready to face the people in Roswell. I just didn't remember whether or not he ever made it.
No, he was real affirming like 6 months ago when I mentioned, I think I'm going to go ahead and plan a conference. Are you in? Do you want to lecture on this book in Roswell? He was like, love to.
Guy Malone is our guest. We'll be talking about next year's plans here at Roswell. We'll be right back. This is Jerry Piven.
The doors are finally open at shopjerrypiven.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features 3 different Jerry Pippen UFO Files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at shopjerrypippin.com.
This is UFO Files. We're broadcasting from Roswell at the station Roswell Project Headquarters. Guy Malone is one of the movers and shakers in the Roswell community, especially when it comes to conferences and unique things. And next year, Guy, we were talking about your conference. You're going to have all the speakers down at the Civic Center, mm-hmm. and it's going to deal basically with disclosure. One of the things missing this year, a lot of people come up to me and says there don't seem to be as many kiddie rides and things. This used to be a real family thing.
Yeah, that had more of a festival atmosphere, I think, because of that. Because I've got
I already found that you don't want to run a bus out to the web. The crash site.
Right. So, it's physically. So we'd need anti-gravity to run a bus out to the crash site.
And so I guess I'm going to find out he doesn't want to run a merry-go-round.
I don't want to run one. You're right, but I will certainly permit one if somebody else wants to set it up. Especially if you've got adults making a 4th of July is always considered kind of a family weekend. But if you've got adults making a trip and they want to bring their kids, the kids probably won't want to sit through, you know, 5-6 lectures in a row. So since I've got the anchor location of the conference center up there or the Civic Center, I'm not opposed to people putting up rides. And
they could contact you through your...
Yeah. One of the domains I own, which is RoswellUFOFestival.com, which is another reason I'm not. I often get in Dutch for here in town, and I post a comprehensive schedule of everything that's going on in town, no matter what groups.
That's actually how I found what was happening this year.
Thanks. Yeah, but you know, there's one or two or three different schedules, and there's a lot of events going on, but there's no master schedule published of everything that might be of interest to tourists and web surfers. So that's what I did with that site. And with that URL and the location I have, everybody here in town that's wanting to do anything that would benefit Roswell tourism and community and families and add to the body of knowledge of UFO research, I'll link to your event even if I'm not the promoter, sponsor, or even if I'm not particularly affirming of it.
I go to that website to check because you seem to have everything that's happening.
I tried.
And let's talk a little bit about... Before we went to the break, we were talking about Giant Rock and the thing out at Southern California, and then that happened actually after Roswell. That whole area between 47 and, I'd say, 54, 55 seemed to be pretty active. I don't know if we've had any, you know, we do sightings reports every week, and we have sightings, but... There were a lot of things happening during that time, including the flap over Washington, D.C. and the nation's capital and messages and et cetera. What do you make of all that?
Honestly, it may be a combination of a couple things going on because we know about the Silver Disc, Ken Arnold era sightings, and that was a huge flap all over the country, but especially in the Southwest, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. The California ones, like I said, that seems to be more of a contactee movement than it was a UFO sighting thing. It's harder to quantify in a nuts and bolts way. You've got to either ask yourself whether you believe the credibility of the witnesses first, and then you've got to examine what the entities were saying. And it seems, and again, you weren't dealing with grays or what people believed happened in Roswell with the 50s. In fact, two of the talks that I love the most at that, Integraton, Retro UFO, I've asked Adam Gorightly and Greg Bishop to speak here in Roswell. They were making the argument, and believe me, with no religious axe to grind, that those contactees were more or less ritual magicians, that they weren't so much seeing UFOs, but they were practicing rituals which summoned them or opened portals. Yeah, well, often they were just individual things, though, but they would have certain seances. L. Ron Hubbard is known of doing this as well, seances or opening portals or black magic, and then something that we might call a UFO would show up, and they'd get messages from people. So if I...
Well, now, you promote UFO conferences. I do UFO shows. I have... Seems more and more people coming to me and saying, "Hey, I'll call up a UFO. I'll put out a challenge.
$1,000. Prophet Yahweh, is
that
who?
Right. Those types. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to Yahweh. He went to Phoenix to call up one from Las Vegas, got on a Greyhound bus, and we've never heard from him. Have you?
I remember that challenge, but I also posted, like, he did that successful thing for one camera, but I posted his mailing list from, like, 3-4 years ago where he was in a different town with a different news cameras, and he promised his mailing list, this is the event that's going to, you know, do it on TV, and he didn't, I think that's what you're referring to,
yes.
They didn't show, so he moved, and then, like, 4 years later, he gets famous in Las Vegas for something showing up on film.
And it didn't quite work out, and he got on a Greyhound bus, and we've never heard from him.
Yeah, I looked at his profile on Yahoo's dating website, and his occupation was listed as entertainer.
So that, there's a lot of that going on, and you, I guess, would be described as not necessarily a skeptic. Maybe you're just a little cautious about reaching a conclusion that extraterrestrials actually are here.
Yeah,
you do have an open mind.
Yeah, because people know I come from the biblical perspective, and that it's no secret that there's more than a little animosity between much of ufology and much of the Christian church. But I think it's because most Christians aren't spending the time doing any real research into the topic to convince them that there's anything worth looking at. They just brush it off. Oh, it's all demonic, and there are good arguments for that. But one, I'm not going to say it's all demonic. I can document for you what I believe is.
It seems to me that, and I'm going to ask you a little bit about that in a second, but it seems to me you're talking about different times and different ways people could explain things, and they would write down things that are a little different than maybe in the descriptions.
Yeah, that's the argument that everything you see in the Bible is really a UFO, and that's what the Raelian cult says, that, you know, whenever you'd see the fire by night, cloud by day, or if a prophet was taken up to the sky, that was a UFO.
I guess the book Spaceships of Ezekiel was the key turning point on that argument.
Or Barry Downing's The Bible and Flying Saucers. And again, but that is the view of every known UFO cult. They always use the Bible to justify what they're saying. So I caution people with that view. And I've also did a 90-minute lecture rebutting. If you take one verse and say, here, look, this could maybe be a UFO, yeah, you're right, I agree with you if you only read that verse. But what I did in the lecture was I read you the chapter, or at least portions of it, read the verses above it and the verses below it, and you can see that that's not, that there's descriptions far beyond what we'd consider UFO.
As a Christian, how do you open up the idea that there are ETs possibly?
Genesis 2:1, God created the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them.
In other words, the old argument about, well, we can't tell people we made contact because it will rock the Christian community.
Yeah, that's the report from the 60s, the starts with a B, the Bigelow, Bungalow, whatever report. Mike Kaiser is one of he's a PhD theologian that I've had at my conferences, and it used to be in church history that it was, if you said that there was no chance of life on other planets, you were a heretic because you were limiting God's omnipotence. God is all powerful. Yeah, God's all powerful. He can do whatever he pleases. So if you say there can't be life on other planets, you're a heretic for limiting the creative ability of God. That's only really switched in the 20th century, pretty much.
The demonic examples. What are you talking about there?
Well, if a contactee comes, or an abductee, comes and says that this entity tells me that they're from X and such planet, that they created life on Earth, that they are our gods and our creators, and that they're here to show us the way spiritually, that they're the ones who sent Jesus and he was a hybrid, and that the path to salvation is realizing that you're God, and that we're all one big happy universe. Well, that message, while I believe in the First Amendment, the person's right to believe that message is obviously in 180 degrees diametric opposition to what the Bible says about who created life on Earth and where we're all going and what the path to enlightenment or salvation is.
I must tell you that I have a fundamentalist background, raised as a Southern Baptist. Everybody is very, very religious. And I want to tell you that the thing that astounded me, I've done, as you know, UFO shows for 5 years, But I really only started going to conferences and meeting people and stopping just doing the show business angle, but actually doing some investigation and things. The spiritual element and the religious element, they seem to be saying the same thing in different words. You have to take it for faith.
You have to if someone tells you that they had a contact. I've often said that is
to be they both are
without more solid evidence of aliens and UFOs. I agree that belief that aliens are visiting Earth is an article of faith because you can't prove it. There's reasons to suggest it, but it's not definitive.
I'm trying to think there are ETs and they are visiting the Earth, but one thing does bother me. I want to go interview one, and you'd think in 5 years you'd be able to do that.
Right. Yeah. And that's suggestive of trickery, deception, elusiveness, leading people on.
On the other hand, I've had thousands of people that I've talked to over 45 years. They all can't be created fiction.
Oh, no way. No way.
And they have lots of similarities, and you check into it, they're not...
Yeah, they're all telling the same story.
Yeah, and they haven't just all heard the same story.
So something's happening, right. And I think it deserves both scientific, theological, even political investigation and dialogue from anybody who's got any credible or possibly verifiable information. But I'm just, like you said, I'm cautious. I'm not going to jump to a conclusion. If you're going to say it's demons, I want your evidence.
Because we had this discussion yesterday between interviews with the staff over here. If an extraterrestrial came through this door and sat down here where you are, and instead of having makeup on like you did in California, but actually looked that way, and I had every belief that he was an extraterrestrial, and he sat here and did the show, and everybody saw him. When he left, I bet you half the audience would say, that guy wasn't really an extraterrestrial.
Yeah, my challenge in that situation is take me to your leader. Take me to your home world.
We can't take you to...
I want a camera and radar blips on me that can be verified. If you can get here, you can take me by where you came from. And to me, that is the proof of the pudding that is yet to happen. People claim to be taken everywhere, but it just could be astral or a dream experience that they believe is real. But if an ET physically manifests, I want to be wired up through NASA and take a camera to his home world.
Problems here that... how are you going to prove it's not a dream?
Exactly. You can't prove a negative, for sure. But the way you're going to answer your question is, take me to your place. I want it tracked on radar that this is where I am in space and time, around this star at this planet.
Attention, intergalactic community.
Take me to your leader.
Ready to go and meet your leader.
Yeah.
Well, I've had people sit down with nice, reasonable people with important degrees, look me right in the eye and say, yep. I went down to Kennedy Airport and got that plane to Jupiter. You know, I mean, and they actually obviously really believe it because it's so outlandish.
Right.
And then you ask them about it, and they tell you all about what they saw.
Well, interestingly, what people don't realize is half of these really bizarre experiences in the Bible are dreams and visions. You read the whole chapter somewhere. Ezekiel chapter 1, the famous UFO verse, it opens up with, I had a vision. And it says again, this was a vision. It was a paranormal, alternate dimension type experience. There's no reason to believe anything manifested in real space and time. He was physically, he was lifted up, he says, in the spirit and taken all these places and shown this stuff. So the people you're talking about, I don't doubt their testimony. And I believe people when they have a testimony like that. But
I don't have a heart to challenge them too hard.
Oh no, I won't bother either. It's just there are other dimensions. There's an astral realm. There's spiritual dreamscapes and stuff like that. And those are all real. They're just not space-time 3D in the way that you and I think of them. So when we're talking about evidence or
space-time 3D, we got to take time for a commercial.
Yeah.
Realism. We'll be back.
Do you have a problem with mold or mildew in your home? Well, listen to this. We have found a product you will love. Moldzyme, an effective non-toxic mold and mildew cleaner. Moldzyme is the cleaner, greener way to remove mold and mildew stains. This is a line of completely non-hazardous, non-toxic, and environmentally safe products. It gets rid of mold and mildew stains quickly, easily, and safely. Moldzyme contains no chlorine or ammonia, is non-hazardous and hypoallergenic, safe on wood, concrete, and brick, inside or outside your home. Moldzyme eliminates odors and is fragrance-free, an all-natural and environmentally safe way to remove mold and mildew stains that really work. See the complete line of products by clicking on one of the Moldzyme banners located throughout our website. You'll be glad you did.
I am alone. Interesting perspective that you have, and when we talk about your next promotion next year, the conference will be on disclosure. Disclosing what will be very interesting. Do you have a hunch? I guess your speakers will take the entire. You're pretty good at having all representative views.
Filling a day.
Yeah, you're pretty good at that.
Yeah, I'm more interested. I guess my angle with this disclosure thing is not so much answering the question, what's going on. I'm more interested in the right to know, the right of American citizens to know. There may be reasons, good and valid reasons, why we're not told this, what's going on. And I think a lot of it has to do with technology that in the wrong hands could be very destructive. But as a Christian, I just cannot see any instance where dishonesty is the best policy.
Well, I agree with you on that.
And I'm very.
I cannot imagine why we would want to cover it up.
I believe the government is subject to the will of the people. So that's what I want these people to argue.
I personally believe in a dark side of the ET thing. I think there are some out there that are going to do us harm.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been too many messages sent to us that way from Hollywood.
But that knowledge could cause a little panic, bad for it's the economy,
but
stupid.
But my point was, even if it's that bad, I still think people would be better off knowing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
problem is, if you believe that there's something bad coming or an intergalactic war here, you're not going to put down $1 million in 30-year bonds.
Well,
it's the economy, stupid. You know? And if there's alternative energy sources, we could power the planet with free energy, or at least without oil and fossil fuels. And, you know, the people that are controlling all these secrets are, you can follow the money trail back to big oil.
Well, I agree with you that completely. I think that the people running these secret installations, and I'd kind of like to get your feeling about this because you've been in this for a long time. I've come to the conclusion it's really not the government. It's corporate America running Area 51.
Yeah, like Jim Mars's rule by secrecy, or what we'd call secret government, shadow government, New World Order. The interesting thing, though, is every Christian would refer to this as what's going to culminate in Antichrist government. I covered a lot of that in my opening lecture yesterday, that New World Order is already prophesied in the Bible in detail.
I understand that. As I said, I'm
definitely.
That, but on the other side of the coin on the New World Order, and I'm certainly not arguing for these guys because I don't think they're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
But just for instance, the border controversies we have now of illegal aliens. I always think that is kind of a manufactured problem.
I've got to agree.
Americans, we're all world people. We're Europeans, Australians. We're all humans. And so why do we resent a new world order? Why do we embrace nationalism? Now, I'm not saying this is my belief. I'm just asking a question. Why do we embrace nationalism and patriotism when really I'm from Oklahoma. I just came here to New Mexico. I came through Texas. It shouldn't be any different, in my opinion.
And I'd love to feel just as welcome in Tokyo, Sydney, or Red China to
it
come and go.
If I wanted to go to Guatemala tomorrow, why should I have to go through a bunch of fake IDs? or not necessarily literally fake. I'm talking about people requiring a visa from this country and this country. That's what I'm talking about when I say fake. Because it's man-made. It's things put up. Even that's about money, I guess. I have people contacting me all the time from places like Africa and some African nations, and you would be surprised what it costs to get a visa.
Mm.
They it literally $10,000 you got to pay somebody under the
Yeah,
table.
The love of money is the root of all evil. You know, there's corruption. There's corruption at the top of that. Yeah, somebody in power.
And so it seems to me that a lot of our problems here, the New World Order, the way they want to do it, if they're going to give us the Mark of the Beast and that's a computer card and you can't do anything without that, mm-hmm. then that's pretty bad. But if you can't open up humanity, where if you're in India or China or Oklahoma, you recognize you're still a human being.
And we all are, yeah.
Just like,
I don't think one world government's a bad idea. I don't think a cashless society is a bad idea. It works great on paper.
It's just the idea of the unintended consequences of these things.
Yeah.
And I'm not alarmed at all by any of the conservatives that say, well, wait a minute, let's not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got good points. And so I'm not saying we ought to rush into that, but I'm not so sure that these intergalactic councils that the ETs come from, they may have the same problems. There may be more than one group coming here is what I meant. I don't
right.
think it's all good.
Right, yeah, that's referred to kind of often as far as kind of forgot where I was going, but the hallmark of a lot of the contactee movement is that if humanity will arise or awaken to a little bit higher spiritual level, we can join this galactic brotherhood.
But don't you think, and I have people in my...
Not that I affirm that total, I don't affirm that view totally, but...
They believe we should all feel good and love one another,
mm-hmm.
and I agree with that too.
Yeah.
But I think that's impossible.
Why?
I don't think mankind can strive to that. I think mankind's going to want to be one up on somebody,
mm-hmm.
going to figure out the best way. It's just human nature. It's the nature of the animal kingdom.
The flesh and the love of money.
Right. You're going
absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And I believe that's a goal that's worth striving for. But anybody thinks we can reach that,
I agree.
they're kidding.
Yeah.
You're just ripe to be taken.
Yeah.
I don't mean that you need to be running around looking under every rock. I guess what I'm saying here is that it seems to me that you should accept what people say on face value, and this gets back to our interviews with
right.
ETs. But at the same time, a healthy dose of skepticism is welcome. In other words, you don't need to say, oh, that guy's cynical. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they may believe that. They may, from their perspective, may really be, but is that really what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where our shows are. We want to try to figure out what's really happening. And one of the things that really bugs me is the abduction scenarios. What do you think of those?
I think it's really happening, but I won't necessarily say it's any one thing. I do believe mine often lean towards the spiritual, astral part of it. In fact, when I did the talk yesterday, UFOs 101.
Don't you believe that some of this is demonic?
That's what I'm referring to as the spiritual, astral end of it.
That
doesn't account for scoop marks, scars on the body, et cetera, et cetera. I think my labs are a big part of this.
I agree with you. It's demonic, it might be.
It's not all, is what I mean. The UFOs 101 lecture that I did, I half an hour of that was covering the major abduction researchers and their findings. You're talking Harvard, Temple University, PhD, MIT conference, where these people are saying this is real. It's physical. It's happening in the space-time. And I think it's going on, but I don't think there's any one answer. It's like the UFO phenomena. If it's a chameleon, pin the tail on the chameleon. If you think you have the answer that fits, and you're sitting there holding it up in front of everybody, it breaks its tail off and runs away and leaves you looking stupid. The entity changes to fit your perception of it, and I think there's more than one answer. It's not either or final answer. There could be some both ands
right.
involved.
I didn't mean to get you over here into a deep discussion of.
I love deep discussion. We got coffee. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Come on.
But
I think the UFO researchers.
A lot of shades of the UFO business.
I think the researchers ignore this, the MyLabs, the secret government, whether it's human experimentation or pumping them for intelligence about their truer abduction encounters. But that's one of the speakers we've had here was Leah Haley talking on her experiences that were, when I say government, I mean secret government. I don't mean U.S. government, but some covert black ops thing.
Leah and quite a few people over the years with abduction stories say that the government or somebody comes right behind them.
Yeah, to gather intel.
Are worse than the extraterrestrials.
Yeah, to gather intel. But biblically, though, one of the things we've hammered here is the Genesis 6 paradigm. There is a biblical record of angels mating with human women to create a hybrid race. And that's exactly what we see in today's abduction literature. They're being taken, impregnated, and creating a hybrid race. To what purposes? I'm not even going to pretend to say for sure, but there's many views. But that is one more indicator. It boils down to, when you're talking about the biblical stuff, do you believe the Bible is true and says what it says? Like when the Bible says angels did this, some people are going to say, well, that's really extraterrestrials, but back then they didn't know what ETs were, so they made up. They said it was angels.
So who do you say it was?
I believe what happens in Genesis 6 was fallen angels. So the sons of God, their actions were against God. They weren't supposed to incarnate and have sex with human women. That was against God's will, and he destroyed the Nephilim in the flood to wipe that out. But I think that same activity, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. If you want to know what the world is going to look like right before Jesus returns, Jesus' prophetic advice is look back at what was happening in the days of Noah. You've got supernatural entities mating with women.
End times story, it's here.
It's coming, but Christians have been saying that for 2,000 years. I'm not saying it's coming this weekend to a theater near you or anything.
We can't get you to say it's 2012.
No, definitely not. I think that's ridiculous, actually. I don't think it's ridiculous, but I don't think, I mean, there was a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988, that was very popular. Turn of the century, people were selling their homes and buying rapture robes and going out. The letters in the Bible, the first century Christians and Corinthians, Paul was writing things to calm down Christians who believed it was going to happen then. So now it's always imminent is the healthy point of view to take. But there are certain signs just not fulfilled. And the Genesis 6 factor is one of them, because in the Bible, it wasn't abductions. It was consensual marriages. I don't see that happening with ETs or aliens yet today. Supernatural entities openly walking the streets, so coupling.
Guess who came home for dinner? It would be not racial. It would be
daughter. Be a little more xenophobic. Yeah. Yeah, so that, until that's happening, I don't think we're in an era that describes the days of Noah to a T yet.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Guy, why did you get into this? This is pretty far out from your basic religion.
Sure.
Or is it?
No. It's based on it. Okay. In 1997, when the Heaven's Gate cult suicide happened, I felt moved to prevent that type of deception from happening further. I heard on the news that most of the people found that cult via their website, internet searches. So I put something that would answer people's UFO questions, or at least begin to answer it from an orthodox biblical perspective rather than a cult perspective. So really my motivation in general is to prevent occult belief systems.
You didn't come to Roswell to start the first Church of Guy Malone?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Or to make money. One thing you need to know, or that people may not realize, I work a full-time job. You know, I'm a Monday through Friday bartender, actually. Very flexible hours. Even though we have huge conferences, it all goes back into producing bigger and better conferences.
You get reaching people, I guess.
Into
the skeptics, and the first thing they say to me is, he's just doing that for money. Well, I've been in this business for a long time. I haven't seen a lot of UFO people making any money.
No, anybody that gets into ufology for money got out a long time ago.
Yeah, they got the wrong business school.
Ask Steven Spielberg. Only fiction really sells. He's the most successful ufologist financially in the world.
And a lot of things that Spielberg has done have been adapted later as biblical in the term of ufology. Not biblical.
Yeah. They're matters of faith, for sure. He's got some, they're accepted norms or belief systems. But he's well-researched.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a lot.
I mean, Valet was the model for the scientist in Close Encounters. And, it's often said that there were people from the CIA on the set of Close Encounters giving him details, to make the movie more, quote, realistic.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so we get back. You're having a disclosure conference. Seems to me there's been little hints of disclosure all along.
Yeah, I made that point in Hollywood at that same. I think that rather than an open proclamation, they're just trying to let it leak slowly. You know, when the Bigelow Report was published in the 60s, it found that disclosure of this topic would cause a lot of panic. And societies, when they bump into each other, one usually gets destroyed.
You know, I used to scoff at that, but I've noticed how fear is used by the government in the area of terrorism has really worked.
Yeah.
So the fear factor is strong.
But since the 60s, all these little Steven Spielberg and UFO conferences, most people are now the idea of life on other planets isn't offensive to them. I mean, they just expect it to be true.
You're not the first guy to come on a UFO show with me and said I'm a Christian.
Definitely. So, I know there's a lot of us out there.
In the 60s,
yeah.
My mother used to just kind of put up with me. The point is the whole acceptance in the Christian community has changed.
Yeah, it's getting there. Our shop has been sponsored like $100 a month from one church here or $50 from there. That's not a huge factor of it, but when we do the conferences, there's a church in Roswell that our pastor came and he did the opening welcome remarks to the 2004 conference just to welcome ufologists to Roswell.
Yeah, we came to that conference. We were going to do the Roswell shows anyway, and we didn't really know quite how to handle your group, except actually I think when it was over, we had, on my perspective, very good shows, and secondly, I think you did something very well there. You got these people at least talking to each other.
Yeah.
So you ought to be proud of it.
Thanks, I am.
There's two things I liked about Guy Malone, that and then showing up in the Mojave Desert in a tie with an alien face. And you can see that picture.
Alienstranger.com.
Yeah.
And believe me, there's much more to love.
Thank you very much, Guy. I've enjoyed it.
You bet.
Okay. This is Jerry Pippin. You've been listening to UFO Files. Our on-location producer has been Roberta Scott, and our production director was Jim Smith. Until next time, cheers.